Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day, of course. We'll begin the communion class with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word, your wisdom, and all the wonderful words you've blessed us with this morning. Help us to minister your word and minister all that's in your heart for this occasion. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
You know, when I used to read Proverbs 31, and that's a blessing. That's the heart of God. That's all it is. You're doing the things that you do because you love your family. And that's just the heart of God. It's all about love. And communion is all about love. Us communing with the Lord, that relationship, that's the backbone of everything. Without that in place, there can be no ministry. There can be no family. You know, that you could have a family, but it won't be structured according to God's perfect wisdom. But in God's perfect wisdom, there's perfect joy, perfect peace. Something's going to happen if whatever we do things the way of the Lord. Today, I went to another chapter. The Lord put this on my heart last night. We were in St. John chapter 21. But this today, we'll go to St. John chapter 4.
St. John chapter what?
4. St. John chapter 4. Yeah. St. John chapter 4, verse 4. And Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now Jesus came there just to see her. When you're guided by the Holy Spirit, you'll be in place at strategic times,
that's
such
good.
As this. And that's how he knew to go. And Jesus said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now Jesus is dealing with something. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in the everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. Now he's dealing with something. First of all, she was thoughts on Samaritans and Jews dealing with each other, and the Lord dealt with that first, and then she wanted the water, and he said, "Go call your husband and come hither." Now he's dealing with another problem, and the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus saith unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou sayest truly." The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. So here he's dealing with a third problem. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now he's teaching her things, giving her clarity. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is coming. So she's watching, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will teach us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon that this time his disciples marvel that he taught with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest with her? On the inside they know this was something good, but it was a culture difference. And Jesus is dealing with many problems at one time. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come and see a man which told me things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Now, when we come to the Lord help us deal with things that can block the relationship. So she learned that Jesus loves everybody, not just the Jews. God loves everybody, not just the Jews. True worshipers can worship the Father and go in his presence. The Lord loves all people the same. In a relationship, the things that you learn, the things the Lord give you, it helps you to appreciate him to the point that she went and told others. She was motivated by his love because he showed her the truth. He showed her the heart of God. And he showed her everything that would get in the way of that relationship. He dealt with it so that she could deal with it. She's living with a man that's not a husband. That'll get in the way of your relationship with God. Thinking that God loves others more than you can get in the, you'll be, it's in our culture, if sometimes preachers preach that healing is for some, it's sovereign, it's a sovereign act of God. Sometimes he heals, sometimes he don't. They taught that God stopped calling prophets, healing went out with the apostles. So now when people get sick, they get angry with God because there's a wall that shouldn't be there. But the word of God reveals that he gave us healing. The word of God revealed that he loved you no matter what your background, no matter where you live, where you grew up. Some people were born out of wedlock and they feel like, well, maybe God don't want me because my parents didn't do right. But that's not the case. God loves all of us. And all the walls that will stop communion, God will drive them down. God loves you for you. And you're just as important as everybody else. The child that grow up in a godly home with loving parents is still born to sin. And we still need to save. Just like the man that's born, his mom has other children, all different daddies. That child is just as important to God as the child born in a godly home. And the word of God clears all this up. You think of Jephthah. He was the son of a harlot. He was Gideon's son, but his mom was a harlot. And his brothers drove him away. But he was a wise man. When they got in trouble, they called him back. With God, nothing's impossible anymore. When you, Daniel put it this way, they that know their God will do exploits. They will stop the works. I asked the Lord, what is an exploit? That's when you expose darkness for what it is. When you do the will of God and you don't let anything stop you. None of Satan's wiles, none of his fiery darts, none of his speech, none of his persuasion can work because you love the Lord your God. And then the Holy Spirit will give you what to do, and you'll do an exploit. You'll expose it for what it is, like Nehemiah's wall. They came to knock it down, and he built it in a way with a sword in one hand and tools in the other. That's communion. Now, we're in the communion. This is what God, the Lord, came to give us. And the word of God, the Holy Spirit, all by the direction of the Father, will usher us into his perfect will. And nothing is impossible to those who believe. Remembering these things, the love of God, all the walls knocked down flat. We'll take communion in 1 Corinthians 11. It reads, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus bridged the gap between God and man. He took God by the hand and man by the hand and joined us back to the heart of God's will. As we, our life can be lived in spirit and in truth. And it will, the people, we get to know the Lord for who he is. And our life can express his love to everybody. And it just destroys the works of darkness. People can say all they want to, but the light of God's word exposes it for what it is.
Amen.
Sister Mayor.
Praise God. You can go on and just say a few words. We really won't have our lesson today.
Yeah, okay.
Y'all know I enjoy teaching. But I'm not going to teach today. The ladies have off today. So you can say a little bit about what you was teaching in chapter 2. You can go
okay.
Just say a few words because we're going to get out early.
All right. Now, last week we touched on some wonderful things, and you know.
Just blow your trumpet.
I will. Yeah. I'm so soft-spoken. I'm gonna stop being soft-spoken.
Amen.
Last time we were talking about the emotions, things that are the negative emotions that get in the way of the Holy Spirit, and we dealt with being things that grieve the Holy Spirit, things that vex the Holy Spirit, and then things that offend it. We stopped at offended. Now,
let me ask you, Apostle, why is it so important that we know about the emotions of the Holy Spirit? Because if we know about the emotions of the Holy Spirit,
we know what to correct. We know what we learn how to please Him, and we
know what's pleasing and displeasing to Him. That's what makes a relationship really good, when you know what they like.
Yeah.
And dislike.
Yeah.
And try not to do the things that they dislike.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when a person finds out what you dislike, and if they don't really like you, they try to do those things to agitate you.
Yeah.
But we're trying to work on a relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
See, the relationship with the Holy Spirit is more important than just the works of the Holy Spirit. So many people want to dive into the works of the Holy Spirit. Uh-huh. Without the relationship.
Yeah.
But we must first embrace the
relationship. Yeah.
And then we can encounter the correct relationship. Because Holy Spirit, the bottom line, they want relationship.
Yeah.
And out of relationship come all the works of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Because it's not by power or might, it's by His Spirit.
Amen.
And a right relationship with the Holy Spirit is the backbone of everything.
Amen.
That's what structures your love. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person. She pointed that out well. Last week, we made it to offended, but something jumped out of me about grieving the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Sometimes the Lord, I watch Him. I don't just relate to Him and talk to Him and ask Him questions and He answers me, but I watch Him. I watch how He do things, how He His judgment calls, the things He'll do. As a minister, I know the message because He give it to me, and then He's giving it to people that have needs. And I know that something he will feed people's greatest needs, and then people that are growing, He'll feed their growth so that for the future. Sometimes a message is not, if you may not see how it fits in your life today, but next week, a month later, even a year later, that message will come up and the Holy Spirit can recall it. Just like you go on your computer and hit a file, God can bring up something that somebody said a long time ago that you've forgotten. And Mary said, nothing in the spirit is lost. So I look at that, and I watch how He do things. And He thinks of everything. And I just, I get in awe at him because he thinks of everything. When he revealed more parts of his plan, it gives me great joy. Some of it he'll let you release. Some of it he'll have you conceal. He's going to do you like that. Paul said that we're stewards of the mysteries of God. But when it, now think about being grieved. If a child do something you really didn't want them to do, it grieves you because now they put something in motion that shouldn't be. All right. The Lord sees somebody out there that needs help. They need a word. And the Lord may get put on somebody's heart to speak a certain word. And they get in fear and don't do it. That'll grieve the Holy Spirit because that word is locked. Mm-hmm. And the person didn't give the word, and the other person need the word, but they locked it down. That would have opened the door for another person to grow and God to bless the person that would have spoken that word. Now the Lord knowing all things, he knows who else he can put it, who he can give it to. But he also knows who the best person to speak it that the other person can receive from. So when we flow with him, we stay on point. Some people can receive from others better than others. So the Lord has a first choice, second choice, third choice. But when any time a process is stopped, it grieves the Holy Spirit because then he has to stop there. And he has to start going to another plan. Now, he doesn't. Grieving the Holy Spirit is not always a sin. Sometimes when people don't make a choice, he's guiding them towards. Because if they do that, they're going to be most blessed. If they don't do it, they're not going to be as blessed. Every time you follow his guidance, it puts you in a position to learn things you can't learn any other way. A lot of things have to happen for the. I learned that. And that was grieving the Holy Spirit. Vexing the Holy Spirit is what Balaam did. He continued to teach the men of King Balak how to curse Israel. And that brought him, that changed everything. Now, offended. I like the way she brought this out. She said, as we have mentioned at Jesus' baptism, the nature of the Holy Spirit was represented in type by a dove that descended upon him.
What page,
John? Oh, I'm sorry. This is page 25. And the Holy Spirit came as a dove. That's a hard-working bird, but easily startled, easily offended. That bird don't like captivity. That bird don't like anything that's not right. And if a dove comes around you, you know, that's a sign of the favor of God. But the Holy Spirit came out of all the animals he could have chosen. He chose a dove. Now, a friend of mine, I grew up with Mr. Austin, was a friend of mine's father. He got saved, and he kind of mentored me in the Word. I had some band equipment. I used to be in a band years ago. And he borrowed it, and he did a teaching at he rented a room at a conference room at a hotel and had a meeting, and he used my equipment. But I learned something from him that I suspected. But I noticed that certain things attract the Holy Spirit, and some things he grieves him to the point he'll withdraw his presence. You know, you won't sense his presence because of something that grieved him. And he mentioned he said when you worship the Lord he'll come. But and he was talking about if you do something sinful thoughts, sinful things. He withdraws from it, and I saw it in the Spirit. Now, when people offend the Holy Spirit, he can't do what he want to do in their life. Because they chose something they shouldn't have. They did something. They made a choice that offended the Holy Spirit. Strife, unforgiveness towards others, it greatly limits God. Now, I made a point. When I asked him to teach me how to love people, I will not be in strife with people. I will not have animosity against people. And I learned something from the Lord. I said, well, Lord, you got to teach me how to do this. That's what I confessed. That's what I wanted. But how do I do it? Was my question. And it's like over time I understood how to do it. You can get ready. Some people prepare themselves to fight. If anybody crosses them, they're ready to fight. So I prepared myself to forgive. If anybody offended me, misunderstand, I forgive.
But sometimes they can just be so ignorant.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That knows better, but yet what comes out of their mouth, you just want to,
It's
hard to forgive.
Yeah. It can be a challenge.
Yeah.
That's why I asked the Lord to teach me how to do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, the key is staying built up.
The key is what?
Staying built up.
Okay.
If you're praying in the Spirit, loving God, worshiping, walking, and constantly like we're supposed to do, mm-hmm. it can happen. And you will, just like Jesus, you'll respond the right way. You might take the money changers and knock them out, but yeah. you also will be willing by the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And there won't be a... There might be a righteous anger, but there won't be a natural offension or hurt.
Uh-huh.
It'll be I'm sure all of us has done that before.
Yeah.
There's situations in your life that you should have got angry or upset,
uh-huh.
and you were so full of God that you just loved that person and you
yeah.
gave them instantly. And then there's other texts, I call it just being married.
Mm-hmm.
and then you're draining a little bit, so you have those thoughts and you feel it, but you contain it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a step backwards too, and then it's their part. What I call really being married, you just let them have it,
mm-hmm.
and see. You can see from the first when you have those feelings naturally, mm-hmm. you need to get closer. Praying in the Spirit really helps.
Walking by faith.
Yes, mm-hmm.
you're giving by faith.
Like
examples.
You said too, mm-hmm. you know, she's aware of it. She's working on it. But.
Yeah.
Now, since I brought this up,
I'm glad I did.
This is what I learned from them. The decision to forgive,
you
no matter what they do.
A long time ago before it happens.
Yeah, I chose it ahead of time, and I spoke it.
And you spoke it.
Yeah.
That's good too.
I said, I will forgive. I will love everybody, no matter what they do. Because Jesus said, pray for them that despitefully use you. That's as low as they can get. They despitefully trying to hurt you and use you, and you love them anyway. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do that. And I confessed that I would do it. Just like I was believing God for a car or something I wanted. I had to do that because he said it. I didn't understand it. I didn't fully agree with it. But because Jesus said it, I'm going to take you at your word and do this. But it happened. People did cross me. And I learned a joy that I couldn't have learned anyway except I obeyed it. In the middle of it, I would do what God would say. Now, the wisdom, because the Lord knew what I was doing, he would give me wisdom for every situation. And that would be the road I would take. And I said, oh, that's why he said do that. There are people that have gotten saved because of it. There are people that became friends with me because of it. I said, Lord, this is so cool. I didn't know that this could happen.
And Larry Lee taped on a long time ago. He taught a series on Will You Pray With Me 1 Hour?
Mm-hmm.
And what he said the Lord taught him was every morning,
mm-hmm.
he would forgive beforehand. He would say that.
Yeah.
I forgive everyone who offended me today.
Yeah.
And so by him saying that beforehand, every morning before he leave the house, he was able to forgive. It just rolled off him like a dust bag.
Yeah, it do.
Forgive beforehand.
And the buddy also put that hour of prayer.
Mine was more of
that's a key thing.
Make sure the Tabasco sauce don't go too high today.
Yeah.
Okay, that was, yeah, I'll redirect.
Okay. Yeah. That's a key thing. And many times the Holy Spirit know what you're going to be faced with from day to day.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to tell you, hey, pray a little bit more. Read mm-hmm. this. Get built up for this. The way he led Jesus into the wilderness. Because he knew temptation was coming.
Mm-hmm.
He fasted, he dealt with them, and when that time came, he was built up and ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Many times the Holy Spirit is nudging on you.
Mm-hmm.
Do a little bit more extra. Come along with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Spend some time with me, and it's
for
a purpose.
Mm-hmm. And then he also talks to you like, don't get in that conversation.
You know, you've got a little food.
Too much.
Your flesh wants to kind of get in. So then it directs you.
And then you feel that, you should start praying, I guess.
Praying in the Holy Spirit.
Oh,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
I do that constantly at my job.
Those jobs now can
well,
you encounter
yes.
a lot of...
Yeah. Well, this is one thing that motivated me. People need the Lord and they don't know it.
They need a representation of God strong enough before they lose everything.
And it's worth it. At first, I was just trying to obey Jesus Christ. I was just trying to obey him. Then I started seeing when he would give me wisdom, and he taught me systematically. He teaches us at our pace. And he taught me systematically how this works. And I kept doing it, and as I learned more, I do more. And I trust him. I learned to trust him that way. We don't trust God up front. He's just like everybody else. We trust him for a reason. We have faith in him up front. But we trust him because he was good the last time.
Yes. Well, that's a good definition between faith and trust.
Yeah.
That's very spot on, buddy.
Yeah. Amen. Trust is a noun. Faith is a verb. Faith is, you. I, because I believe, I act, I speak.
God's been putting this in my spirit the whole time we're talking anyway. People say God's word is the final authority. It's really better than that. His word is authority, period.
Yeah.
It's not the final authority. It is the authority.
And it's loaded with wisdom.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
There's wisdom there's some wisdom you can't learn unless you do it. If you have to, I act on it by faith, and it works. Now I trust it.
Yes, well, that's good. I've been kind of... Mm-hmm. Just clearly, that makes it so much simpler for me mm-hmm. to define that, the difference between it now. Thank you, personally.
Okay. Holy Spirit. So I have faith in his word, but as I use it, I trust it. And he is his word. So,
Amen.
The final thought, the Lord is taking you. Mm-hmm. He's going to show you things. He's going to show you him.
Yes.
You'll know him better.
Thank you, Lord.
And he's the same way all the time, but you're going to know him in a more stern way. And it's going to do good. And never be limited. Pastor said this year, he's also a prophet. He said, think big. So whatever the Lord do, think big. Because you have to believe in what you're doing. All right. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the structure of your word and how you bless us. I thank you for the relationship. Bless us to do all that's in your heart, your perfect will for us, your perfect will. And bless us to do the exploits that Daniel talked about in these last few days. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And thank you for the waffles and all the men that participated in making that a nice breakfast. Okay, y'all enjoy your day and happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Thank you.